Greetings, listeners. Today we've got Mike Bagg on the show, co-founder and CEO of AMZ Advisors and Go Advance. Mike is an expert in e-commerce and Amazon Marketplace strategies, with particular focus on expanding brands into the Latin American market. In this episode, Mike shares his fascinating journey from Connecticut to Guadalajara, Mexico, where he built his successful business, helping brands thrive on Amazon and Mercado Libre. I discuss with Mike the unique opportunities and challenges of the Latin American e-commerce landscape, including the importance of localization, the benefits of using local fulfillment networks, and the growing demand for consumer electronics, health, and personal care products. Mike also highlights the critical role of off-platform marketing and programmatic ads in driving sales, as well as the advantages of partnering with a local distributor to navigate complex logistics and legal requirements. Don't miss this engaging discussion filled with practical advice for brands interested in tapping into the Latin America's market. Welcome to the Ecom Pulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, Eitan. Thank you for having me here.
I think you're doing very, very well, right? Being in Guadalajara, Mexico, right?
I am certainly enjoying the warm weather. It's about 38 today, about 100 in Fahrenheit for the non-Celsius users.
Yeah, I mean, so you find the best place to work, I think, right? It's a place where everyone goes to vacation having so much fun, but you find a vibrant e-commerce, Amazon marketplace ecosystem, and you've built a whole business around that. So tell us more about your journey and reaching to where you are today, and what are you doing with AMZ Advisors?
Well, it's been a long journey, and I'm originally from the U.S. I didn't grow up here in Mexico. I grew up in Connecticut, lived there pretty much my entire life. After I graduated university, I went and worked in Deloitte, working in consulting. Absolutely hated consulting, tried figuring out some other stuff. Got a couple certifications in real estate from New York University. Then I went to work in real estate development for Sears. And Sears is where I really started learning about how retail and e-commerce was changing. Sears obviously was failing at the time, so we were closing a lot of stores. And we were actually selling off assets. And then some of the deals we were selling properties on, companies like FedEx and Amazon were buying them. And I was like, well, why is Amazon buying, you know, a store at a mall? This makes no sense. And I started learning that they were turning it into a fulfillment center. And that's where I started learning more about how to sell products online, or that you could sell products online. And then I researched how to do it, kind of started in the retail arbitrage space, buying everything we could at Target and Walmart, and then selling it on Amazon, and then built a private label, bringing art supply products from China. And that's where the idea of AMZ Advisors more or less came from, as an agency. Being in the art supply category, the elephant in the room is Crayola. Crayola is the brand that everyone knows. And there were categories where we were competing with Crayola and actually beating them and taking market share from them. And we were like, well, this is interesting. These companies don't know what they're doing. And that's where the idea for the agency came from. Let's help these brands succeed as well. And ever since then, that was 2015, we've been running AMZ Advisors. We've grown it to a team of about 65 employees right now, and we're managing about 95 brands.
Wow, impressive. So, you know, it's usually recommended to work for a company on a growth phase. You can experience the growth. How do you scale businesses? And you were like on the completely, you know, other side of the spectrum. But that's also, you took the positive approach, I guess, like inspired from the opportunities and the other companies buying all the assets, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was inspiration. I don't know if it was inspiration, necessarily positive inspiration, but yeah. What I saw was the leadership of Sears was just making poor decisions. I mean, when I joined the company, we were spinning off a real estate investment trust. We raised $2.5 billion and we burned through that $2.5 billion in like a year and a half. And I was like, what? And being part of the real estate team, I was closing stores. I was watching people lose their jobs. And I was just like, there's no such thing as a secure job. When you're in a job, you are dependent on the decision making of the leadership within that company or, you know, within your team, whatever it may be. And do I trust myself to make better decisions than I trust other people? And that's really what pushed me down that route, because I do trust myself to make better decisions. And so far, it's paid off for me.
I mean, I read some crazy stats about Mexico and Latin America in terms of e-commerce, right? How low competition it is compared to the US, obviously. So high in terms of mobile penetration, the use of social networks, influencer marketing so powerful. So tell us more about it.
Well, Latin America is an incredible opportunity. And one of the things that I noticed, I've lived here in Guadalajara for almost 7 years now. My wife is from here. That's part of the reason I live here. But one of the things I noticed is that the availability of product in Latin America is limited. A lot of things that I want to buy, I can't find here. A lot of brands I want to buy, I can't find here. I can only import them from the US. And when you're buying a product through from the US, and if you're familiar with the Amazon side, there's a program called North American Remote Fulfillment where you can sell products from Amazon in the US to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm buying something directly from Amazon itself in the US and sending it to Mexico, I have a ton of tariffs and taxes and other costs that are not taken into consideration. So for me as a consumer, it's actually kind of crappy. Like I really can't buy the products I want without paying significantly more. I bought a computer monitor once on Prime Day in the US and I was like, oh, great deal. Went to import it. I had to pay $150 in taxes to import it. So I was like, oh, there goes my deal. So that is really what all consumers here in Latin America face. And the reason why there's not product selection in Latin America is because it's so hard for foreign brands to get in. I mean, generally, you need a business, you need an entity, you need a tax ID, you need a partner that's in the local market. All of those things are very difficult for most brands to be able to find. So what we did through AMZ Advisors and our partnership with GoAvance, which is our sister company, we are essentially being the distributor for these foreign brands in Latin America. So if you're looking to reach Latin American market share, we can actually help do the importation correct. We can lower costs for the end consumer. We can lower your costs and increase your margin. So all of these are benefits that we're able to provide by being here in market.
Yeah. So you've built a whole ecosystem of services. One, you help, like as an agency, help them scale with Amazon and probably other marketplaces and channels within the Latin America region, but also help with distribution or try to develop some kind of an engagement with the brands to localize, you know, the operations with importation services, local support, consignment, warehouse management, shipping. Also, we will try to describe, you know, both of these activities. So tell us on the Amazon side of the agency. Mm-hmm. Business. What is the typical scenario? What is your best, you know, customer that you're interested in working with? And what are the methodologies that you put in place to scale them in the region?
Yeah, so there's a few different things that we focus on when it comes to actual growth. One of them is off-platform marketing. One of the ways that we do that is through affiliate. Another way that we're looking at doing that is through video marketing. And we've discussed that before personally. Yes. Essentially, when you look at the way that consumers shop in Latin America, it's heavy mobile first. They're heavy social media users. I think the mobile saturation numbers is like 85% of users are shopping online. The social media numbers that you shared with me earlier, like Mexico is like the second or third highest worldwide in social media use. So there's all of these reasons why it's really interesting and a really interesting way to engage with them by being off platform. Another way that we really leverage that the mobile off platform piece is with DSP. DSP in Mexico is significantly cheaper than what it is in the US. That's the programmatic side on Amazon. And that helps us a lot in reaching people when they're on different websites and bringing them to Amazon to actually buy the product. So that's one way that we focus. And the other big piece that we focus on is Amazon is just one piece of the pie. In Latin America, Mercado Libre, at least in Mexico, is the biggest platform. And they're almost 50-50 at this point in sales, but it is still a lot of sales are happening on Mercado Libre. So you need to be able to be on both platforms. And that's one of the benefits that we're able to provide is that once we help you deal with getting in here, we can scale you on Amazon, we can scale you on Mercado Libre, we can get you onto the other smaller e-commerce platforms. And that's really where you start seeing a lot of the growth, is by just being everywhere.
Yes. So in terms of the specific services that you provide, whether it's an Amazon or Mercado Libre or off platform, what are the areas and topics that you usually help with brands with?
So what we focus on is localization is what the first piece from an SEO standpoint. Like, how do we take good SEO copy and put it into local languages? So Spanish is very general, but Spanish is different in each individual country. So Mexican Spanish is very different than Spanish in Spain, in Argentina, in Colombia, Venezuela, wherever you're looking. And you need to localize your copy for each of those marketplaces. I was actually having a funny conversation last night with an American and a Mexican friend about how one word in Argentina that's not considered a bad word at all is a very bad word in Mexico. Wow. So if you're not localizing, there's a lot of things that you can make mistakes on. And that's one of the big problems. That's the first area we focus on. From there, obviously, it's the graphic design as well. Localizing for the language, but also making it designed to target the audience. So, for example, using Mexicans or Latinos in the imagery instead of using Americans or African Americans. That's one way that we would localize the images. All of that's going to help with conversion rates and click-through rates. So that's one area. That's another area we focus. And then beyond that, it's, you know, how do we drive sales on platform? So, you know, we implement sponsored products, sponsored brands, sponsored display, mainly on platform. And then finally, like I said, the last piece is the off-platform traffic, which comes in the form of affiliate, DSP, and hopefully video marketing in the near future.
Yes, of course. And what brands need to do in addition to all these localization and marketing activities? What about customer support? Obviously, the language is an issue. So how usually brands are handling, you know, these type of issues?
So brands that are able to leverage the FBA platform or Mercado Full, it's the FBA equivalent of Mercado Libre, have the customer service handled by those platforms. So that's one of the biggest challenges that most consumers have. And luckily, the platforms can handle it when you're using those fulfillment networks. When you're not using those fulfillment networks, customer service becomes a big piece, but so does fulfillment. Language barriers, not only with talking with the consumers, but actually talking with the warehouses. And that's where we step in a little bit more on the go-around side and help them manage the actual 3PL warehouse to make sure their fulfillment's being done and making sure the customer service is being handled. But yeah, different language differences in dealing with customer service in different language, and also dealing with customer expectations in a different culture are the biggest challenges for foreign brands when they're looking at that. When they're looking at their operations outside of just marketing on Amazon or e-commerce.
Yes. And how the pricing usually works with all this additional, you know, tax related, you know, costs?
Well, that's a great thing. Is like, once you actually have the product in market, so if you're not selling cross-border, you actually lower your cost significantly. So when we're looking at we'll talk about Amazon, North American remote fulfillment, the cost of North American remote fulfillment is about 50% higher from a fulfillment fee standpoint than it is when you sell in market and use FBA in market. So you're paying more fees for actually exporting products from the US to Mexico. That's the first difference. The other difference is that in Mexico and in other parts of the world as well, value add tax exists, and value add tax is included within the price. So essentially 16% of whatever you're selling is going to value add tax. So mispricing your product can also cause issues for you as the brand from that standpoint. And then finally, like tariff costs coming in, you are not paying them as the brand, but the end consumer is paying them. And when that happens, there's the potential for them to either not want to pay or not expect it. Your inventory can get stranded in customs, or worst case scenario, they might want to return it. And now you have to pay again to have the product brought back into the US. And all of this ends up being expensive for companies that aren't handling their operations and their fulfillment the correct way within the country.
So everything needs to be handled locally, obviously, right?
It's always the recommendation we make. I mean, FBA through the NARF program and Mercado Full through Mercado Libre through the Mercado Full program, they both try to present it as a way that this benefits U.S. sellers, but at the end of the day, the only benefit is the platforms because they're making more in fees. The consumer mm-hmm. loses out because of the shipping times, because of the higher costs. The brands lose out because of the higher costs in the struggle of dealing with customer service and item returns. Platforms are the only ones that win through cross-border commerce.
Yeah. And in terms of like specific niches that are very active in the region, do you see any difference from North America, or there are some niches you can highlight that are more profitable or more interesting right now?
For sure. I think there are some niches that are very, very strong in Latin America. And we work pretty closely with Mercado Libre on their global selling team to try to figure out how they get more brands into mm-hmm. Latin America. And most of the demand that we see is electronics. Consumer electronics is extremely high in Latin America mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons. Many countries have bans on Chinese electronics. So you can't bring in Chinese products directly from China to whatever country. I believe Brazil and I think Colombia have bans on those. And that obviously creates opportunity for foreign electronic brands within here in Latin America. So when we look at category-wise, that's probably one of the most highest demand ones. On a side note, I have a friend who built a multi-million-dollar business bringing in refurbished smartphones from the U.S. to Colombia and selling them in Colombia. He got to the point where he started winning government contracts with Colombia to actually sell these refurbished phones. So there's a massive demand for electronics, and that just kind of highlights it.
Yes.
Other categories where we see a lot of strong demand are personal care, health, supplements, cosmetics, pet supplies. Like those categories also all do very well in Latin America. Other ones like apparel are a little bit more challenging. I mean, there's a lot of apparel that's manufactured in Latin America, which makes it very difficult to be cost competitive. Yes. Food is also difficult because food prices tend to be a little bit lower here. So when you're focusing more on electronics, health, personal care, beauty, those types of categories that are more elective, I guess I would call it, those are really where the ones where you start seeing more demand and more purchases because in market, they just don't have as many available options to purchase from.
Yes, yes. Got it. And what will be an ideal stage in a life cycle of a brand to start looking at the region?
That's a good question. And typically what we recommend is you need to have inventory. You need to have sufficient inventory to be able to continue the operations in the marketplaces you're already operating in, plus mm-hmm. invest probably 10% of that into Latin America. Okay. From a standpoint of sales volume, Latin America tends to be smaller, but there are certain niches where like U.S. brands just don't exist. And like I've mentioned, supplements already. We worked with a supplement brand here in Mexico that was one of the top sellers in Mexico. And mm-hmm. they were doing significant sales, like millions of dollars a month, U.S. And when we looked at their sales in the U.S., they were probably the 40th or 50th biggest protein seller. So that kind of like says what the opportunity is right there. Yeah. Like being not that big of a seller in the US, but being the number one seller in Mexico is incredible. And like, that's the kind of opportunity that brands have, are able to capture when they come into Latin America and do it the right way. I mean, that's kind of the way that we look at it.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. And in terms of the resources the brand needs to put in place beyond the inventory that you mentioned, like in terms of staffing and expertise that are required for working successfully in the region, what would they be?
Now, if they want to try to handle their operations on their own, you're definitely going to need a customer service person. That's obviously incredibly important. Dealing with logistics, you're either going to need a logistics partner or a person in-house to help with customs and the shipping and everything. Those are common challenges that we find brands struggle with here in Latin America. For us, the biggest piece is like on the advertising side. So like if you have a good advertising team to help you on Amazon and help you off Amazon, off Mercado Libre, I should say as well, that's going to really be what drives the growth forward. So if you can handle it in-house, great. If not, you know, you can find agencies here in Latin America. You can also find distributors here in Latin America that may be able to provide advertising services or marketing services in addition to the actual distribution. And that's probably the main things that you're going to need to be successful. An accountant actually is one of the other big things. Filing taxes here is incredibly complicated. In general, this is something I complain about frequently. Taxes and banking in Mexico are a nightmare. Like literally a nightmare. You have to go in person to do wire transfers. You have to go in person to do other like bank transactions. You can't do them online. Tax filings. You have to wait weeks for appointments with the tax services. You have to make changes. It's a pain. Like there's actually people. There's a whole lot of things you don't want to deal when it comes to the tax and banking, and having an accountant in place is probably going to be the other resource that you're really going to need to be successful.
Yes, got it. So you mentioned previously that you need to allocate probably 10% of your inventory just to kick off operation in the region. What about the marketing budget? Is it like in the same volume? Like if you're spending whatever amount, $100,000 a month in the US, what would be an ideal budget for kicking off, you know, this operation in the region in terms of marketing expenses?
Yeah, from an expense standpoint, at least on Amazon and Mercado Libre, the cost of advertising is significantly lower than the U.S. Mm-hmm. So CPCs we see are about one third or lower of the cost in the U.S., which means that you get a much better return on your advertising dollars. We see higher higher ROAS, lower A costs. All of these are great benefits for brands. When it comes to budget size, typically we would recommend. Starting somewhere in the $5,000 to $10,000 range a month, and this again will depend a little bit on the market size of the products you're selling, but we want to be able to leverage that budget in a variety of ways. One is obviously the on-platform ads, but as I mentioned, so many people are shopping online on social media, so many people are just using mobile in general. Being able to target them through programmatic ads through the Amazon DSP is going to need. Well, significant budget to actually be able to see success. And like, that's where you'll drive a lot of people and a lot of eyeballs to your brand when you're launching for the first time. So we would recommend probably being on that higher end and then splitting the budget, obviously, between the platform and the actual brand awareness of actually driving people to your listing. So.
Yes. So the recommendation is just to go off platform, Amazon and Mercado Libre, and focus on these marketplaces, right?
For sure. Like that would be 100% the recommendation is like how obviously build your presence on the platforms and then figure out how do I get people from whatever sources, social media, blogs, newspapers, whatever, to my actual product. And that's really where the off-platform advertising piece comes in.
And what are the marketing tools that they are providing, you know, in terms of probably, you know, affiliates, obviously advertising, like in the US, it's the same like the AMC or Mercado Libre. What are the type of, you know, tools or access to the platform that is available?
Yeah. So the great thing about from the affiliate standpoint is Amazon Associates works here in Mexico, but Amazon Attribution also works here in Mexico. So from an affiliate link standpoint, you can use Amazon Attribution to track the traffic coming in. Attribution is great for not only affiliate, but it's also great for paid ads. Obviously, any platform, you can see how your ad groups are performing with different attribution links. That's probably the main support that you would be getting from the platforms themselves. Mercado Libre is a little bit, would have a little bit less. It like doesn't have an attribution tool like Amazon Attribution. So it's a little bit more challenging to see what the results are. But that will help a lot when you're running the off-platform traffic to Amazon.
Yes. Got it. So I'm very interested also in the other side of the business, right? We go advanced. So I know you have that distribution model. Tell us more how the business engagement is working on that side of the business.
Yeah. So it's been growing very quickly, actually. And essentially what we're doing is pretty much what I highlighted. I mean, I featured all the challenges of starting your own brand here. I've spoke to all the challenges of dealing with logistics, dealing with customer service. As a distributor, we're handling all of that for you. So we have our own warehouse where we're keeping the inventory. We're utilizing Amazon FBA and Market and Mercado Full to be able to fulfill orders through those platforms faster. But even with a 3PL warehouse, the interesting thing is that you can hit customer delivery times very quickly. I mean, there's actual times where we're delivering products from our 3PL within 1 to 2 hours of order. And that's, that's pretty incredible and pretty powerful.
Nice.
Apart from the fulfillment piece, the other big piece that we're doing is we're actually out there selling the product. So we're getting the product onto Mercado Libre. We're getting the product onto Amazon, onto Liverpool, Coppel, Walmart. We're getting it into retail in some instances. We work with the largest retailer here in Mexico, like a department store retailer. We're building relationships with the largest pharmacy chain here in Mexico. So there's a lot of different ways that we're helping brands get visibility, not only online, but in brick and mortar as well, when they work through Go Events. And mainly right now we're focused on Mexico because Mexico is, because of the proximity to the US, because of the ease of most brands getting in. But the game plan is eventually we're going to get these same brands into Brazil. And Brazil is over 50% of all the e-commerce sales in Latin America. Mexico's number two. And that's really where the big piece is going to be, is like, let's get you into Mexico. From here, once we show you success in Latin America, let's show you what we can do in Brazil.
So in terms of all the legal things, right, like the local entity that is, you know, accepting or pushing or pulling the inventory, this is also part of the services that you provide?
Exactly, yeah. So to be able to access FBA and Mercado Full, you need a tax ID in the local market. To have a tax ID, you need a business entity. Being able to work through us as distributor or as your seller, we have our tax IDs. We're able to get into these programs, and that's one of the big benefits. Without that, you know, we actually... there's a lot of bad things that can happen.
Yeah, that's a good definition. Yeah.
So this is actually interesting because this happened again yesterday. It's the second or third time we've seen this, in that there is such... So tax ID in Mexico is called an RFSA, RFC. And the RFC, there's such a thing as a generic RFC. And you can use a generic RFC. And some sellers thought they were being smart. And they're like, oh, I'm going to use this generic RFC, get into Mexico. Then they got hit with a tax bill that was equal to 28% of their sales because they didn't do things the right way. When we eliminate all these mistakes, like, the tax bill goes down significantly. It goes down to like 4 or 5%. But when you're not following this stuff correctly, Amazon's going to hit you with a very big tax bill. And that's one of the big pitfalls that most sellers that try not to use an entity locally run into.
Yes. And by the way, shipping to the end user is usually done through the FBA or Mercado Libre providing the same service as well. That's the recommended approach.
Yeah, it's recommended for last mile. I mean, like I said, we can get pretty fast fulfillment, but through our 3PLs. And generally, when you look at Mexico, and there's three cities that the majority of the population live in. So being positioned with a 3PL in those cities can help you really speed up delivery times. When it comes to like the actual ranking on platform on Amazon and Mercado Libre, similar to the US, when you use FBA, when you use Mercado Full, you have additional, I'll call it strength in the ranking that you get on each platform. So we do recommend using the fulfillment networks.
Yes, of course. And what will be the typical customer type for your agency business and for the distribution business, where brands should position themselves, you know, in these two approaches?
Yeah, so I think mainly and this kind of goes back to the question that we spoke to earlier, brands that I think are kind of in that $1 to $5 million range online are probably the brands that are well positioned to start looking at expanding to these new markets, whether it's going into doing an entity yourself and working with a marketing agency like us to actually do it, or working with a distributor. From a standpoint of ease, I always recommend the distribution model, but many brands want to try to do it themselves, which is fine too. So that's kind of the sweet spot when brands are doing that much volume in sales. It's where you really start seeing traction, because they have the dollars to invest in DSP. They have the dollars to invest in off-platform marketing.
Yes.
And that's where, you know, the flywheel starts going. The ranking increases, the sales increase, the brand awareness increases, and everything just starts going from there.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Michael, anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, I think it's one of the exciting things is what Latin American can look like for most brands. Yeah. The example I gave you of being the number 40 protein seller in the US, the number one protein seller in Mexico, that's exciting. And there's lots of opportunities that are like that are wide open here. And the brands that take it seriously and actually start moving down here are the ones that are really going to capture that success and get ahead of everyone else. So
yes,
Mexico, Latin America, everything is growing from the standpoint of income, from the standpoint of wealth. There's a lot of buyers, a lot of consumers down here, and they just want access to product. So giving them access to product is what's going to help you be successful in, down here in the long term.
Yeah, and it's much less competitive, right? I saw that like 90% of the brands that are available on Amazon, the US, are not available in Latin America, right? So that's just this piece of data is like, it's crazy, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly. The number of sellers here is like so much lower than the US.
Yes.
And the volume of sales continues to increase year over year. I mean, the annual growth rate at this point, I think it's something like 18% compound annual growth. And that's massive. So where things are now, it's going to be very different 5 years from now.
Got it. So that's the perfect timing to start considering and checking out and check out the region. So fun facts, right? I know you have a few. Okay, so let's... Maybe you can choose one or two and share with us some interesting story about yourself.
Okay, well, I'll share two that are kind of related.
okay.
One, I am a dual citizen of the U.S. and Portugal. I actually play lacrosse for the Portuguese national team. So I play at the international level. And at the European Championships in Poland, I guess this was 2 years ago, I fractured my collarbone in Poland. And this was the day before Easter. And I had to go to a public Polish hospital because all the private hospitals were closed. And I felt like I was in a Saw movie. And the next day, because it was Easter, there were no pharmacies open. So I couldn't actually get any painkillers. So that was a very interesting story that I will probably never forget in my life.
Wow, crazy.
It's a little something to know about me.
So what do you do with the broken bone?
Luckily, I didn't need surgery. So I flew back to Portugal after the tournament, and then I got checked out by doctors in Portugal. I have a lot of family that are doctors over there as well. So that helped a lot.
Okay.
And I speak the language, so it helps me a lot instead of Poland, where no one spoke English or Portuguese. Yeah. So yeah, I dealt with it there. And then once I was fine, I came back to Mexico.
Playing. It's finished, right?
No, I still play. Really? I actually played another tournament this year, but right now I have a knee injury. So, you know, ups and downs, I guess.
Got it. Great. So, and Mike, where people can find you?
Yes. So the best place to find me is... on our websites, aimsyadvisors.com or goavance.com. You can reach out to me directly at either. It's mike@aimsyadvisors or mike@goavance.com. Be glad to discuss more with you about what your brand can look like in Latin America. And finally, you can also reach me on LinkedIn. Michael Begg, I think, is my name on LinkedIn. So that's probably the other place you can get in contact.
Yes. And we will share all the details in the show notes and really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Aiton. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimi, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimi.net to learn more. It's Vimi, V-I-M-M-I.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.